So allow me to pray for us as we open God's word. Father, we need your help because we're human, we're broken, we're distracted. Help us, Father, by your Spirit. Open our eyes to see wonderful things here in your word. Make us more like Jesus as you continue to transform us by the joy that is here in these magnificent truths. Father, would you save us, transform us, and set our hearts ablaze as we open up your holy word together now. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I'm going to move a bit slowly through this passage, as I said, and I'm going to start by reading the first five verses again and talking about them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning, these words that open John's gospel here, they take our minds straight back as people who have read the Bible, and particularly to this audience who would have known these words, the very first words in the Bible itself. God's first words to us are in the beginning. In Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And here they're echoed by John, aren't they, to tell us something more, to fill out this picture for us. In the beginning was the Word, John says. We reflected last time I spoke 2 weeks ago that the Word of God, you might remember, it doesn't return to him empty or void, but it accomplishes his purpose for it. Psalm 33 tells us that by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host, by his word. Right there in Genesis 1 we see over and over again, you might remember, and God said, and God said, and God said. And so it was. He spoke, God spoke, and things came into being as a result. But here we're told something fascinating. In the beginning was the Word. And we're given even more here. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this speaks to the very speech of God, the Word of God, the Word that brings about life and light. God's Word is how he communicates. It's how he acts. It's his self-expression. His word communicates himself, just as our word does. His words are not disconnected or distinct from his person, but his words are the expression of his very self. And the eternal Son is said here to be that very word of God. It doesn't get more intimate and close than your own words. This eternal word of God is himself God, and yet John tells us he's distinct from God. He's distinct from the Father, that is. The Son of God is not the Father. The Father is not the Son, and yet they are both perfectly one. They are both God, and yet one God. And here we see that all things were made through him, through the Word. And then the same idea is given in the opposite way by John. Without him, without the Word, without the Son, was not anything made that was made. It's the opposite, the same idea given in the opposite way. The eternal Word, the eternal Son of God, is as God the Father is. He's eternal. Contrary to cults out there that would tell us something else, God's Word tells us he is eternal, always existing, always there, always. He is eternal, the eternal Son. All things were made through him. The Son of God did not begin to exist 2,000 years ago. He didn't start his journey 2,000 years ago. But he, the eternal Son, was there at the beginning of the creation of all things. He, in fact, is the one we're told here that through whom the Father made all things. Everything that was made through the Son. In fact, he was the one through whom God made all things. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John can't make it more crystal clear to us by giving us the idea and the opposite, just to drill it home. And so I hope here you see that the picture here, that the image that you have here, that we're being shown here of the Son of God, I hope this leaves no room in our hearts this morning for a small and dim and little picture of Jesus, as often I think our world has. I hope your picture of Jesus here, based on John chapter 1, isn't the kind of Jesus that we put in our pocket, our buddy, our pal. But here is the glorious Son of God, our Jesus, the one through whom all things have been made. John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, the light of humanity. You can see again the connection with Genesis, with the words made, created, life, light. If you go back to Genesis 1, those words are just there. God's making things. The first thing he makes is light, and life. God said, let there be light. And there was light, verse 3 in Genesis 1. And here, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John introduces here a number of themes for us that his gospel will continue to unpack later, and I, with the other teachers, will deal with as he does. But he introduces them here. We see these things in these first 18 verses that will keep coming up in his book for us. But let's continue here in our verses together, looking again at verses 6 and 8 with me. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He, that is John, was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. We'll be focusing on John the Baptist next week in our passage, so I won't say a lot here about these verses, but just to say in passing that John the Baptist's purpose here was to point others to the light. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And then John, the writer of the Gospel, a different John, the Apostle, tells us about the true light. Have a look at me from verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. The true light was largely rejected, wasn't he? If you remember reading through the Gospels. These are crazy words here, though. The world was made through him, the eternal word, the Son, Jesus, yet the world that was made through him did not know him. Imagine that. As soon as Mum was recently staying with us, she told a story that when she was growing up in New Zealand, in Pukarua Bay near Wellington, that she actually went to school with the famous director Peter Jackson, who filmed the Lord of the Rings and the other Hobbit and other films like that. The problem is she didn't know him at the time, right? So she kind of tells a story about, you know, she went to school with Peter Jackson. I'm like, did you ever meet him? Oh, I don't remember. You know, I was very young. You know, but they've got, you know, the same. They're born in the same year, so they must have been at the same school. And there's her claim to fame. Next time you see her, you can get her autograph. Problem is, she didn't know him, right? And even if she knew him, back then it wouldn't have meant much to her, would it? Peter Jackson is just that local kid at Pukarua Bay. Sooner and I have been, here's a confession, been watching MasterChef, you know, where they worship food and everything. It's the 10th anniversary this year, if you've been watching, where they really they worship food, but we enjoy watching Sina the Great Cook, and it gives us ideas, and it's just fun watching people do stuff and stress, and you don't have to, you know, like, it's just nice. This year they met, you might have seen the episode if you've been watching, where they met Prince Charles. So the top 10 got to meet Prince Charles and cook these canapés for him, and it was just, you know, their claim to fame. But imagine being the 11th place person who went home the previous week, and then finding out they all got 10 grand, I think, as well as met Prince Charles, the top 10. But imagine being that 11th person who missed out. And I just imagine you would be like, oh, I just missed out on Prince Charles, and probably more importantly, I just missed out on 10 grand. There's something a little greater here, isn't there, that these people missed. The world was made through the eternal Son who became flesh, yet the world did not know him. Imagine that. I was here when Jesus was here. Did he meet him? No. Just incredible. As we continue on in John's Gospel, we see that the true light is rejected by many. His own people did not receive him, John says. His own people. Most miss this. Most reject him. The Creator who came to rescue lost humanity, most of humanity does not know. It is true that most who know him, know of him, reject him. It's true in our country. But we're told here, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Here's the heart of the mission of God. Here's the heart of the mission of God. The Son of God, the eternal Word, who came to give people the right to become children of God, born of God. Jesus will unpack this idea in a few chapters for us with Nicodemus, which we'll come to in chapter 3. But here we see that God's purpose is not ruined. It's unchanged. It's not as if he wasn't seeing this coming, that he would be rejected. The true light is the one who gives the right for people to become God's children, children of light, those who receive him and believe in his name. The idea here is of personal relationship with Jesus. Submission to Jesus as the eternal Son, as the eternal King. This is someone, the idea here is someone who agrees with God about his assessment of their sin against him. Someone who agrees with God about their heart that has gone astray from him and turned away from him. Your heart and my heart. And so we look not to ourselves but to God through Jesus. God's children are not God's children because they are more special in themselves. I think we saw that in Deuteronomy. They are no better. They have no greater merit. They have no family status or social status that exceeds that of others. On the contrary, Paul will tell us that most of those that God chooses are the weak and despised in the world. But rather, God's children are those who God in his grace chooses, those he gives the right to become children of God, those who joyfully submit to Jesus as King. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't let this sentence include your name. The true light was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Most people's names are in that sentence, become in that sentence. Do you know the true light? Do you know the eternal Son? Have you received him as your King? Have you trusted in his death for your sins and his resurrection for your life? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Let's look at the closing verses of our section here together. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." In the Old Testament, you may remember, God tabernacled. He tented among his people. This is the language that's used by John here, this same language for tented, tabernacled. The word tabernacled, he tented, he dwelt among us. He tented among us. In the Old Testament, they experienced, the people of God, something of God's glory, you might remember. Glory in the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night that led the people through the desert. Glory in his particular partial manifestations to his people. A few in particular, think of Isaiah and the vision of God, Ezekiel and some others. Moses, glory in his presence in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Let me just give you one picture of that last one here in 2 Chronicles 7. As soon as Solomon, that was the king at the time, finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of Yahweh, that is, the Lord, filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. When all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." Here we see God's glory filling, in a temporary way, a structure, a house, a temple. But imagine if his glory came down. Imagine if God's glory made his dwelling among us. Imagine if we saw his glory, his fullness of grace and truth. Imagine that. This is exactly what he's done. This is exactly what God has done. This is what his disciples saw and experienced. They lived with the eternal Word become flesh. Imagine that. He dwelt among them. They saw his glory. The Apostle John will go on to say towards the end of this book, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name," that is, in him. Do you realize this morning that the eternal Word of God, God the Son, he who was with God in the beginning, he through whom all things were made and without whom nothing was made that has been made, do you realize that him in whom is life itself and whose light is the light of humanity, the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life, he became flesh. He became human. The eternal Word of God, the Son, who made all things, he became human, fully God, fully man. The eternal Word became flesh, human, and dwelt among us, among our race. No one has ever seen God, John says. We might say, hang on, wait, in the Old Testament, didn't they? John's talking about here in his fullness. No one's ever seen God in his fullness. All the glimpses or partial experiences in the Old Testament where they see something of the glory of God were so much less than this, where God's glory came down to dwell among us. The only God who is at the Father's side, the eternal Word, the eternal Son, becomes a man and lives among our race. That is why John chapter 3 verse 16 is so incredible. God sends his Son, not a man, not only a man, because we aren't talking about just some man dying on a tree, are we? Our world certainly thinks we are, and I'm telling you, if we are, we should go home. There's no hope. We're talking about the perfect, holy, eternal Word of God. God himself dying on a tree for us. Be struck by that again. The perfect God, the perfect man, Jesus Christ, dying for you on a tree. If that truth doesn't absolutely astound you, you have to wonder if you're alive. I mean, spiritually alive. If God the Son, the eternal Word who made the world, becoming a human to die and rescue you and me from our sinfulness against him, if that doesn't astound us and amaze us and excite us, then I doubt we're spiritually alive. I doubt it. I'm not saying we don't have dry days. I do. I'm not saying we don't have dry seasons and hard seasons. I do. I'm saying, be amazed again. Be astounded with this truth. The eternal Word of God, God himself becomes a human to rescue you, to rescue me from my rebellion against him. How can that truth not give birth to worship and fruitful living? How can that truth not excite us to open the scriptures and encounter the living God who speaks to us through his word? To praise him on and on and on. Through all the difficulties that life throws at us. Because it does. Surely that truth has to do that for you and me. What else can, brothers and sisters? The truth transforms the way we live. The way we persevere through trials. The way we love the unlovable. The way we pray for those who persecute us. The way we seek to reach those hardened towards us. The way we move past our fears and anxieties to seek opportunities to share Jesus, the eternal Word, become flesh to save humanity. That's the way. He's the way. A vision of him in his glory that overwhelms our lives, that carries us through the difficulty to push through. The eternal Son, Jesus Christ, is no less than God. Don't believe anything that's less than that. You may remember Philip struggling with this in the end of John's Gospel. He says, Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us. Jesus says to Philip, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me, Jesus says, has seen the Father. Hebrews, speaking about the eternal Son, says, he, the eternal Son of God, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. If we want to know what God's like, if we want to know what God is like, if we want to have a relationship with God, we cannot go past Jesus. We can't. Our world tells us that we can. Of course we can. There's many roads that lead to Rome. We must look within. We must look to her or him or to this or that. And in the end, it's okay where we go. We end in the same direction. That's lies and foolishness. Jesus would not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That will lead us astray. He is the only one through whom we can know God. Jesus says in his high priestly prayer in John 17, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. He is the way, the only way to know God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. no one. He's the true light. He's the only one full of grace and truth, John tells us. For me personally, it has been to see more and more clearly this biblical, glorious picture of Jesus as the eternal Son in all his glory. It's this picture here that has filled me with strength to endure all that life throws at me. The hardships that we face can almost feel overwhelming as our view of Jesus remains small. It is as we see, and we're reminded as we open the scriptures here in places like John, of how glorious our Jesus is, that we're encouraged that he is with us, that he is for us. The eternal Son of God is for us, and he could end my suffering today, but he has a purpose in it. That he is conforming me to the image of the Son. That he really is working all things together for our good. He delights in his children, and it's his joy to give us the kingdom. But this will come, as it did for King Jesus, through suffering and hardship, brothers and sisters, that we will not escape him. Here this morning, God's word reminds us with such beauty. Please reread this week. Meditate on this scripture. Here this morning, God's word reminds us with such beauty who our King is, who we come to worship this morning. The eternal God, the Son. This is not just a man who lived and taught some things and then died. This is the eternal Son, God himself. He is the eternal Word who made all things. He is the true light that gives light to everyone. He gives life, the one who sustains life. He is the light of the world, and the darkness has not overcome him, and it will not overcome him. The darkness of this world, the darkness of your situation, cannot overcome him. The maker of all things, the light who triumphs over the darkness, who defeated the power of darkness on the cross. He burnt the darkness with the light of his loving power. This is the glorious Jesus that we worship. The eternal Word become flesh. The glorious Lord Jesus. And to know that this one that we've been speaking about, that we read about here, the eternal Word, that he is with me by his living spirit, that this one is with me, in me. To know that. Because the truth is, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. I'm sure if you're a believer, you've found that to be true. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Peter says, resist him. How are we going to resist him? How are you going to resist the prowling lion, the devil, in your life? Standing firm in yourself? Putting on my mighty strength? Come on, JJ, you can do this. You're strong enough. We won't last the night. It is by standing firm in our faith, Peter tells us. What is our faith? Is this not our faith? What we have meditated on this morning? The God, the eternal Creator, the Mighty One, the Almighty God. He sends his only Son, the eternal Word. He took on flesh. He became a human. The eternal Word took my place on the cross. My sin and my shame he took on himself. I'm now forgiven and freed. It's all of his grace and mercy. It's not my doing. Jesus is my righteousness. God loves me as his Son. That's how we resist him. Our faith. Jesus is my righteousness. It is the proper and full view of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, the eternal Word of God, made flesh, that gives the gospel its glorious weight and magnificence. It was not only a man who died on a cross for sinners. It was the eternal God-man who died on a cross for sinners. So let me say, face your trials with that truth. Face your trials with him. Not a small Jesus. Look to him, the Holy One, the eternal Word. From his fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. This unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor of God that's overflowing to us in Jesus. Lavished upon us by God, flooding over to us to face all the things we face with him. Allow me to pray. Father, you are so good to us. You give us these glimpses in your word of the glory of heaven, the glory of your eternal city, where we will see Jesus face to face, where we will be no more wondering about him, but we will see him. And yet, Lord, while we wait and we struggle and we suffer and we face hardships daily, we thank you that you have not left us alone, but you've given us your Spirit, you've given us one another, and you've given us your Holy Word, where we see a picture of the eternal Son in all his glory, who came and became a man to suffer and die for our sin. Father, flood our lives, flood our situations, flood our hardships with your joy that would give us strength for tomorrow, strength for this month and this year and whatever lies ahead, because we have the eternal Son of God on our side, because he lives in us and he's for us and not against us, because we're your children because of what he's done. So Father, give us confidence and encouragement and great joy in Jesus' name. Amen.